It's on the front.
On the next
we are good to go. Bill, we're ready to start.
For a community collaborative virtual school, I'd like to call this meeting to order or take roll call. Bill Hall, I'm here. Mike Humphrey, here. Susan Hull,
here.
Steve Prairie, present. David Franklin.
David might be on mute.
Are you on mute, David?
Sorry about that. Yes, I'm here.
Okay, thank you. I'd also like to, for Community Collaborative Charter School, I'd like to call this meeting to order, and I'll take roll call. Bill Hall, I'm here. Mike Humphrey, here. Susan?
Here.
Steve Prairie?
Here.
David Franklin?
Here.
Okay, all present and accounted for. County Collaborative, I'd like to call this meeting to order. I take roll call. Bill Hall, I'm here. Mike Humphrey,
here.
Chief Brary,
here.
Pete Matt,
here.
Larry Alvarado,
here.
Okay, we have a quorum. Everybody's present and accountable.
Thank you, President Hall. All right, David, we're going to go ahead and go over you if you want to kick off your meeting, and then we'll go to Tom Schaaf.
Yes, hi. I'd like to open up this meeting of the California Pacific Charter School. I will call for roll call. David Franklin, I am here. Steve Brary.
I'm here.
And Kelly Wiley is not present. So I will call this meeting to order now.
All right, very good. And I think we'll now go to Tom Schaaf.
I'd like to call the meeting for Pathways Academy Adult Education. Roll call. Tom Schaaf present. Charlie Padilla?
Present.
Edie Castellic is absent.
Okay, so this sounds like we are in the second item.
Yeah,
Bill, would you like to go ahead and
sure. Hey, like to ask everybody to please stand, unless you're driving. For the Pledge of Allegiance, ready? Begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God.
Thank you very much. Okay, I'm going to, is there any public comment? Hearing none, let's move on to 4.1, informal information presentation. Charter School Services Organization, CSO structure. And that's for all three schools, or do you need to do individual?
I would say for all three nonprofits, that should be fine.
Okay. For all three nonprofits.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And David, you want to go ahead and go next?
David might be on mute.
Sorry, I'm having some audio issues here, so I'm getting some feedback.
Yeah, everyone should be on mute. We hope you are.
Okay, could you back up for me? Because I didn't hear the last piece.
Yeah, we want to go down to item, I believe it's 4.1.
Mm-hmm.
I have
a problem
with the audio. It could be. Steve, could you maybe
finish? Yeah, I'll move with item 4.1. Isolational presentation, charter service orientation, and Craig Vulture and the partner of Hopio Law Office and Carl Yoder, Growth and Management Solutions.
Okay, very good. Tom Schaaf.
I'd like to open item 4.1, Board of Directors Study Session. Thank you.
Okay, very good. I'll go ahead and do the introduction here and kind of kick it off. Again, I want to thank everyone for being here in person. Also, we have a lot of people throughout the state join us. And today, we feel that this is going to be a continuing conversation. It's really returned from our last meeting. I think you're going to be pleased with all of the updates we've had. We've done a lot of heavy lifting in the past month. We've done it by so many people, our proposal. And I know with our leadership team, we had a really productive meeting. Things kind of stalled in a two-hour meeting at about 1 hour and 57 minutes. We went to a screeching halt, and it was like that moment of silence. And then all of a sudden it was like a phoenix bird came out of the ashes and went up and said, hey, I think we're going to take care of this. So we've had some good dialogue, but we're here today with Carl. Greg Mosher had a conflict, but we're very confident that Kevin can step in and pinch it and do a good job and kind of take you through the presentation that we've had before. And I think what we learned yesterday with our Pan Marcos team, truly critical to go very slowly. Let's check for understanding, open up the questions, make sure everyone's on board, and then we'll go to that next chunk. We'll kind of chunk it. And I'm not sure, Corey, how we want to do this. Do we want to put it up on the TV, too? Kevin's got his notes. I see some things spread around. So let's make sure we've got a lot of visual aids. That's good for a lesson, right? Right, Mr. Hall, is you watch my video and my teaching?
We'll discuss that later.
Okay. All right. Maybe Charlie can help that too. Give us some feedback.
I'm sorry.
Okay. Well, Kevin, why don't we go ahead and get started? And again, we appreciate it.
Sure. Yeah. You may all recall from the January 15th study session, we talked about three different options for the structure going forward. The first option was to create a charter services organization that you all would be members of. The second one was to merge all the corporations and all the schools into one corporation, which would require material revisions of all the charters. The third option was to refine your current relationship, which we kind of all talked about that would be difficult to describe, especially for authorizers to describe. So we all talked about option one as one to be the most viable and just kind of continue on forward. So I wanted today to talk, or we wanted today to delve a little further into our recommendations for option number one and what that would look like. So today we'll cover the organizational structure, that is what your roles as members would be and what the CSO's role would be. And your rights to the CSA as members. And we'll talk about the next step. since the last meeting, we've had subsequent discussions about what the CSO should look like. We've considered input from all of you guys at the last study session. We got authorizer input. We talked to the CEO and NGMS, Carl and Kurt, about the strategies, and we have a lot of input from the charter leaders. School leaders, really valuable input from everybody. So we're happy to come forward with our recommendations.
Any questions so far? So try to get your head around that we've done this presentation with you. I sat down with Dana Pedersen up in Guerneville. She was out of India, also the Access Superintendent Symposium. So I was out there, called for a meeting to go over it. I had Kathy Granger there from Mount Empire. I had breakfast with Larry Alvarado, that was another point of contact, and Dave McLeod. As I started to go through this presentation, Dana literally said, no, I'm taking over. So Dana, I've learned that before. When you step up, I'm just going to stay right beside you here. And she walked them through, and it was so nice to see one of our authorizing district superintendents advocating for this. We know Sooner got done with, you know, a lot of good Q&A. We got done with that, and then Kevin Gordon, someone that we've been speaking with, he showed up walking through the presentation, and he was just literally astonished. He had never seen this before, but he was saying this has great potential. And the more he got his head around everything, he felt really, really good about it, that this was going to be a viable mechanism to use and trying to learn more about organization. I ran it by Adam. Up at Sonoma, Adam Stein, the executive director for SELPA, and he was so pleased by what we have done. He asked me to do a presentation up at the CEO Council later this month. So as I'm kind of checking my boxes, you know, I ran that. I had a conversation with Kevin Scully, which I thought would go 30 minutes. It went over an hour. He was so intrigued by it. So I think we've vetted this pretty well. We've got a lot of people. Carl's been on a lot of calls and behind the scenes, Corey and I, leadership team, continue to make free. Okay?
So, feedback from last meeting, one of the concepts that we heard was that we might have some visualizations about what this would look like for us all going forward, have an idea in our head. So, we wanted to present kind of a really basic organizational structure here. But you see at the top, each of the five charter school corporations are members of the CSO. You consider the CSO to be a subsidiary, so that's why it's down below. And the board of each member would appoint a director to the CSO's board. So that's where the subsidiary relationship comes from the members down. And the CSO is a subsidiary. But it does remain self-governing on its own. It has its own board. But you appoint it, but the board runs the CSO corporation. So members, a lot does not change in the day-to-day operations of the schools, the members. The members continue to manage and operate their schools. They still would continue to share a CEO among the five school corporations. They retain their own school staff, school leaders, teachers, CERS employees, and certificated employees, and they continue to share teachers among the schools. So, you know, that day-to-day school operational structure doesn't change. What changes is the shared administrative staff moves to the CSO. Those are the folks in HR, student services, special education, special projects, training services, and professional development and procurement. So you think about the things that in the school district structure, all the local schools go to their district office for. That's what the CSO would be, the school's resources. And then another visualization is when the CSO provides support services to the members. So the members negotiate and enter into a services agreement with the CSO, and the CSO provides the services in accordance with the contract. So that's kind of the structure.
So maybe let's go around the table. Do you have any questions for you so far?
Clear. Very clear.
So what would be the period of time for that agreement between each of the charters and the CSO? I assume it would be have to be renewed periodically.
We're talking, it's more in the conversation phase. I think we had talked about an annual.
Annual. Okay.
Questions?
I'm
there.
I love the
initial. Does this make sense, what we have up here,
yeah,
on the structure?
Yeah.
So we've got our boards, and we've got your schools underneath there.
Yeah.
I think that's the show you help. Charlie, I'll look from your end.
No questions at this point.
You good? You good?
No questions.
Well, you guys are
accelerating. Well, we're going to me next. I just have some concerns. One concern is the charter environment is one that operates rather freely without constraints for the rules and is a normal brick and mortar kind of environment. I see this process as sort of skirting the edge on that and returning to another layer of administration within the charter schools. And I worry that might be something that we really want to keep an eye on and make sure we're not walking down that road where we become a bureaucracy. That thought comes to my mind, and I think if things deteriorated, it could be something like that. And we should be cautious of that.
No, that's a really good point. You want to give any input on that? Then I'll ask.
Yeah, I agree with that point. The reason charters exist is to do things in a more direct manner, focus on education, less red tape. However, in the last couple of years especially, there's been some abuses of that freedom. And this is just a way for us to kind of, in my opinion, get ahead of the curve in self-imposing a little bit of structure to prevent the state or authorizers or FICMAT from imposing a draconian structure that isn't flexible and that we don't have any part in designing.
Mm-hmm.
But I agree, we do want to keep in mind charters are meant to be non-bureaucratic, otherwise you could just do it as a district, but it wouldn't need to be a charter school. So it's a good point.
I think, and I'll echo what Carl said, I think the other thing that I see just from the visuals is the charter services organization is really on the bottom. That's providing the services. Again, think of yourself, think of the county office of education. If this was flipped around or was up on top and it said CMO, I probably would have already walked down the hallway and headed out, because that gives that perception, that management piece, and that becomes very political, mm-hmm. and the licensing and I think we've learned from other organizations who've made mistakes. And I know as we've kind of just had a lot of discussion with our internal team and then our external stakeholders, that CMO is something that we don't even want to look like. We want to, I think, really just the complete opposite.
I think it's great news that the superintendent seems to gravitate towards this idea.
Mm-hmm.
That's very positive.
Mm-hmm. And I think as we go through here, Mike, you're going to see some more things that we feel is going to create more transparency and more of a service model as compared to a management model.
Mm-hmm. Well, it seems to me, too, that there are on positive side. There are probably some cost savings that go along with this kind of structure as well, too. To not duplicate services among the five entities, which would be nice, I think, too. But, boy, I just want to be cautious because I like the freedom with which charter organizations operate.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think we should incur on that freedom.
Well, I think the safeguard on that, too, because I agree with what you're saying, but the safeguard on that is the yearly opt-out. So it isn't going to be, if it were going that direction, we could see.
We could get a sense of that pretty fast.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. The other thing that our leadership team has talked about is in our first year, we're thinking that it might be prudent to be very conservative and not invite or take any applications for anyone that might want to come into the collaborative. In other words, kind of like starting school.
That was the question I was going
to
ask.
You're not going to start a high school with 5,000 kids. It's like, let's bring that freshman class. Let's see if we can get the bugs worked out. Then the next year, we'll bring in the 10th graders. And if you get the bugs worked out, then go to the 11th. And over a four-year period, you put systems in place.
Yes.
And I think that is going to be something that's really going to make a huge difference. A huge difference.
Okay.
And also, I think the other big thing, Mike, that I see from this is that when we look at growth, when you start to go through here, I look at it from the lens of I'm a small charter school that I need a home. And as you start to see the services, there's just like an immediate attraction that for the collaborative thing I might want to go to. And that's really good. The other thing you want to keep in mind, our current model right now, if I check for understanding with every single one of our superintendents, and I did it in a kind, professional way, they could not explain their model to their board, our model to the board. It was impossible. With this, it's really easy.
Mm-hmm.
We have 5 nonprofits. We operate 11 different charter schools. Over on the side or underneath, we have a separate nonprofit with a separate CEO that provides services to all of the others.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, unless you have a visual aid, people's eyes cross, like back in high school, we got periodic table of the elements. We have our metals, we have our non-metals. So, anyway. The only thing else,
I think it's great. This is fun.
Have we thought about staffing on this CSO?
We're getting there, buddy.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
We're getting there.
This one's easier.
Yeah.
All
right.
Okay, great. So, the next slide will delve a little deeper into what the services are, and that is basically the people who are moving over, who they are and what they do. In the human resources services, you know, it's your payroll and accounting, recruitment and onboarding, retirement, benefits, workers' comp, compliance, and credentialing. In student services, it's enrollment assistance and student information system, data entry, student assessments, accountability, data reporting. In special ed, it's the shared leadership and service providers, procurement and negotiation of a vendor, an IEP, and new software support. The special projects, think about all the back office stuff, assistance with LCAP development and stakeholder engagement, start development, loss accreditation, and then you have your training and professional development and procurement. You're building an economy of scale for the collaborative school by pooling all these resources together.
Mm-hmm.
So what are the numbers, right?
We'll put on this work. Corey, is there anything off your quiet this morning, Corey? Is there anything with this lab as far as services that you would like to ask?
You know, we had an opportunity to share with the San Marcos office and then our staff meeting yesterday. We shared them this concept, the CSO concept, trying to let them know that we're working towards creating a more formalized structure for the collaborative, the college of the collaborative. And I think in sharing with them, we really wanted to underscore that the day-to-day business and operations really continues the same. It's just where your having this new individual who would be the director over that CSO. And we have the sense from staff that everyone was nodding their heads. It makes sense. We're going to continue doing what we're doing, but we're going to have this new nonprofit that we would be under. That makes sense. Because I think there's also, from our staff perspective, it's felt a little muddy for them as well when they have an employment agreement with Thunder County, what you're serving, that you have expenses that you're, you know, spending for where you pay invoices to VMS, and this one you're coding under here, and this one you're coding under here, but it starts, to feel like it's, I don't know who I am and where I work. So we got a lot of head nodding in our staff meeting yesterday. They also understood that. It was very clean for them to understand as well. And so in terms of the services that we provide, you know, we see this as an opportunity as well to strengthen the work that we do. I think it will help our staff have that sense of identity, the organization that they specifically work for, and it changes sort of the understanding of how we provide services out to the schools. And I just think all the way around, it was very beneficial that we had that conversation yesterday with the staff to get their feedback.
I have a question, and it's the way I'm trying to see this. And so I'm liking this model here to like a county office of education being the service provider. Many districts within my county were the members that you were talking about, and they're making this agreement with the county office of ed. Because in my old thinking of smaller school districts who didn't have the services or couldn't afford, then they would go to county office to get a variety of different types of services. So is that sort of like what this model is looking at?
I see it a little bit differently. Because the county office has some authority over school districts. There's some accountability. A school district has an accountability to the county office of ed. In this model as a CSO, we're really here to provide resource information, make recommendations, help provide hands-on work in terms of community services, in terms of student services, et cetera. So we're doing the work on their behalf, we're providing recommendations and resources to them, but we're not directing them, and we're not requiring them to, you know, follow through on some particular procedure or process. We don't direct their work.
So if they have philosophies that we don't agree with, what is our recourse?
If the CSO has philosophies that the pathway
is open. If the members have philosophies, there's five of them out there. So let's say one decides to do something that is totally against what our philosophy happens to be. My charter is going to be, you know, the white right. Okay, could happen. Okay, so if that's the case, what is our recourse?
Well,
do we have a way to hear?
I can chime in. Your visual or your thinking is good. Corey's point is good too. I think again, if I kind of split the difference there, what's nice about our model is that I would say in my current role, interfacing with all five boards, and we literally keep those schools accountable for the work they're doing.
So there's an accountability piece where there is still a CEO overseeing
and not from the CSO.
Not from the CSO. They're completely different. And we're going to come up with something in a few more slides and we'll talk about it. Okay. Because we need that mechanism in place. We all know that we all work for the board of directors. And again, we look at our state compliance or we look at state coming up. We've got our audit coming up. We know that we have to get that done. And that's going to be with Carl and Wade. So there's some accountability there. We know we've got our second interim financial benchmarks. So we have to get that done. That's non-negotiable. So we'll get that to operate in districts. And we'll get that to the county office. So we've got that mechanism.
You know, I also say a controller is the board. And that isn't what your scenario isn't going to happen, at least as long as we're on the board, you know, and that can be for the foreseeable future. So because we're the ones that you ultimately are the ultimate yay or nay to anything. And then I was listening to what Corey was saying, and it seems to me then the accountability aspect is on the CSO rather than the other way around. We hold them accountable for the services.
Yeah, because we had a services agreement. Yeah, and you'll see if you look at a few more slides, they're going to have a high level of accountability.
Yeah,
because if you're a member in a SELPA or you're a member, say, I go back to HOA model, if you're risk related or plumbing or all that stuff, you have to go to that board and say, guess what? No.
Mm-hmm.
It's not getting done.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they're going to definitely help us.
Yeah.
I think there's an intimate relationship between the sponsoring districts and the schools that they're supporting and overseeing as well, too. I don't get a clear picture of how the CFO fits into that structure of the sponsoring district's oversight, and will it be that each individual board will report to those sponsoring organizations, or who will I have the relationship with?
It would be with me.
Just with you.
That I would be the kind of the face of that nonprofit, and I can assure you that I speak with them as often as I speak with you. It's almost there. And that's a good feeling to have. And I think Carl can echo the other organizations that the common denominator of their other organizations that failed, the ones promising state students, they had a very poor relationship with the authorizing district. They would communicate and they would literally do things and then ask for forgiveness. Ours, we do it completely opposite. Anytime I get a sense of something that's going on, I'm going to reach out to them. It's a special ed situation or, hey, you know, I'm up in your area and you want to stop and have some coffee, or it's Friday morning driving to work and we're talking for 45 minutes. So we do that.
Well, that transparency is something of which we're proud. And I think it really became apparent in our workshop in July that they were stunned that there was such transparency, not even realizing it themselves when they came into the meeting and walked away with the idea that we really can't trust this group.
Well, the other thing, what they told me, and it's a compliment to our organization, without mentioning them, they told me politely that if there's ever any openings in our organization, please let them know. And the more I talked to superintendents at the Active Superintendent Symposium, I had a lot of people approaching me just saying, hey, the same thing. It sounds like you look like you're having too much fun. I said, well, no, I think we're doing some great things. We've got great people. And it was a defining moment for me is that they're so limited on what they can and will do. And when they have those honest conversations, you feel real bad for them. And, you know, it's one little piece of what we can do that we're, you know, we're doing good things.
Yeah. Well, I think that we should have probably mentioned at the beginning of the meeting, but the fact that our school just recently finishing with law school board, having 6 years straight in a charter environment, that's incredible. It's absolutely incredible. And that's because the word's out, you know, about the quality of our work and the leadership that's taking place within this organization. And boy, I almost hate to hand that off.
Well, and I would add to that, Mike, that I was up in Capitol with Ruben Cepeda, who's someone most of you know, and just a really down-to-earth, great man, and he takes on July 1st, 2017. So, Krista Woodruff and a few of her staff members up there with me, and we were talking about the summer program, and we started talking about the material revision. We want more transparency, and we want to be called Sage Oak Charter School as compared to community cyber virtual school. And he says, hey, that revision looks great. And then I reined in a little bit harder, and I said, well, you know, Ruben, this thing expires in a couple of years. And he says, you know what? Let's just go ahead and do a renewal. What do you think about that? And I said, there you go. I think that might work.
Yeah.
Oh, what happened? But he said, just like with him and his contract, he didn't want to let it expire. He said, if we feel good about it, let's do it now. So bada boom, bada boom. Here we are in April. We'll go in for the public hearing. We'll come back, get that approved for 5 more years. This day and age, that's unheard of. And it starts at the top. It starts right here. People in this room, Carl too. All right, we're good to go?
Yes. All right, thanks. So that you don't feel like you're letting things go, let's talk about what the members right there on the CSO. And we have slides for each of these bullets here to dive a little deeper, but there are membership rights under the corporation's code. The members have appointment and removal rights over the directors of the CSO and approval rights over the CSO's officers plus the CSO's CEO. The members would get noticed and be invited to participate in CSO board meetings. There'd be oversight through the services contract and your CEO's oversight of those services. And then the CSO would be expected to make presentations to the members' boards.
Oh, yes. I think the transmission went on.
Mike?
Is he on mute?
No. It's just everything froze.
I had got something came across the screen that says the internet connection was...
It's totally apart, no transmission. Okay.